We are in the middle of Matovu. I'm just going to go over the Matovu with the simple meaning of the words. So it begins with Matovu Oyalecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael. How good are your tents, Yaakov, your dwelling places, Yisrael. The next pasuk is Vani Broiv Chazdecha Avay Beisecha Eshtach Velehechal Kodshcha B'Yirasecha. And I, with your abundant kindness, shall come to your house. Eshtach Velehechal Kodshcha B'Yirasecha. I will prostrate myself toward your holy sanctuary in awe of you. Hashem, ahavti mo'in beisecha u'mekayem mishkan kvodecha. Hashem, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. V'ani eshtachve ve'echra evrecha lefnei Hashem oisi. I shall prostrate myself and bow. I shall kneel before Hashem, my Maker. V'ani sfilosi l'cha Hashem eis rotzoin elekim v'rov chazdecha aneini be'emes yishecha. And I, my prayer to you, Hashem, be at an opportune time. Hashem, in your abundant kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Okay, so first, I want to point out that there are six references here in Matovu to six different types of places. Let's begin. Matovu oyhalacha Yaakov, right? How good are your tents, Yaakov? So that's a tent. Mishkanoy sacha Yisrael, your dwelling places, Yisrael. So we have oyhal, we have mishkan. Next pasuk says, Mani broiv chazucha ovay beisecha. And I with your abundant kindness will come to your house. That's bias. That's a third. Oyhal, mishkan, bias. I'll prostrate myself towards your holy sanctuary. Right? Heichal is the fourth place. So we have Oyel, Mishkan, Bayis, Heichal, just in two Pesukim. The next Pasuk says, Hashem, ahavti ma'oin beisecha. Hashem, I love the dwelling of your house. Ma'oin beisecha, the dwelling of your house. It's not beisecha, it's ma'oin beisecha. And then Mikoim Mishkan Kvodecha, the place where your glory resides. So there are six places that we're talking about over here. So perhaps, since this is a tefillah that we say as soon as we enter the shul in the morning, or as soon as we begin davening in the morning, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Kabbalistic writings, it says that it explains that davening is an ascending process. The beginning of davening corresponds to Olam HaAsiya, to this world, Olam HaAsiya, and then there is the davening of Pesukah de Zimra is Olam HaYetzirah, and then Berachas Kriya Shema is Olam HaBriya, and finally Shema Nesra is Olam HaTzilus. So there are four worlds. No idea what they are, but there are four worlds, and throughout the davening a person ascends higher and higher into higher worlds. And I'd like to suggest that the the four places that we're referring to over here is a reference to these four worlds. I think the way we can somewhat understand on our level is we could compare this to, there's Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there's Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, there is the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there's the Kodesh HaKadosh. We're going to talk about four different places, and as we go through davening, we get closer and closer. So, Matovu Oyel Lecha Yaakov. First, we start with the oil, the tent. The tent seems to be the Olam HaAsiya, or we'll compare it to Eretz Yisrael, the preparatory place as we begin our entrance towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mishkan Oisecha, Yisrael, your dwelling place. This is a reference to Yerushalayim. Tzion Mishkan Kvoidecha. Tzion, which is Yerushalayim, is referred to as the Mishkan Kvoidecha, the place where Hashem's glory dwells. So Yerushalayim is a level closer. Olam HaYetzira is Mishkan. And then, now I'm going a step closer. I'm going to come to your house, to the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Echa, which is Olam HaBriya. And then finally, I'm going to prostrate myself towards your holy sanctuary, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Olam HaTzilus. Now, unfortunately, Bizman Azeh, there is no Beis HaMikdash. All there is no Beis Echa. There is Ma'oin Beis Echa. There is the dwelling place of your house. The house isn't here. There is no Mishkan Kvoidecha. There is Mikoyim Mishkan Kvoidecha. There is the place where your glory resides. There is no Mishkan Kvoidecha. So the next pasuk is that even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem, Ahavti Ma'oin Beis Echa, I still love the dwelling place of your home, on the place where your glory resides. Even if your house is not there, even if the Beis HaMikdash is not there, I still love the place where your Shechinah dwells. And I'll soon explain how this relates to our avodah. There's a pasuk in Parshas Ba'aloscha. Parshas Ba'aloscha begins with Ba'aloscha Saneiros. Hashem speaking to Moshe to tell Aharon. Ba'aloscha Saneiros, when you kindle the lamps, El mul pnei haMenorah yairu shivas Saneiros. Opposite the face of the menorah shall illuminate the seven candles. And then the pasuk says, Vayaskein Aharon. Aharon did so. El mul pnei haMenorah helo neirisah. He kindled the lamps opposite the face of the menorah. And Rashi, very famous Rashi on these words, Vayaskein Aharon, says, Rashi, Lahagid Shvocha Shel Aharon Shleishin. It's coming to tell us the praise of Aharon that he did not differ. And the way we literally learn Rashi is that he didn't differ from Hashem's command. The question is, why is that a praise? Why would we expect that Aharon HaKohen would differ from Hashem's command? And I'd like to suggest that what the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Aharon here was, when you kindle the lamps, is a reference to when when a Yid davens in the morning. When a Yid davens Shachris. Davening Shachris is an experience, it should be an experience of igniting oneself. One needs to ignite their spiritual lamp. And the purpose of igniting the spiritual lamps is not just so that during davening one should be on fire, or one should have a certain warmth or enthusiasm, and as soon as we close the siddur, we should extinguish it. The davening has to be meaningful enough that it should remain with us for the rest of the day, to the point that when we're faced with different nisyonos throughout the day, when we go out into the working world, when we go out into the street in general, and we're faced with different nisyonos, we have to be able to tell ourselves, I just spoke to the Rebbein Shalom. I just had a conversation with the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. It's totally unbefitting of me to be able to, not to withstand this nisyon. I'm a person that speaks to the Rebbein Shalom. And that is what the Rebbein Shalom told Aaron. B'halos chasaneiros, when you kindle those lamps, and the Aharon HaKohen was the person that not only did he kindle his own lamp, but he helped Klal Yisrael kindle their lamps as well. He was able to ignite the neshamis of Klal Yisrael, the ner Hashem nishmas Adam. So b'halos chasaneiros, when you kindle those lamps, those neshamis, el mul pnei amnoira yirushim chasaneiros, those lamps need to be able to illuminate opposite the face of the menorah. That when a yid goes into the rest of the gashmi is the world, which is opposite everything, what seems to be opposite of the davening, which seems to be opposite of everything that we stand for. Those lamps need to illuminate even in those areas that are el mul panei amnoira, even those areas that are opposite the face of the menorah. And the pasuk tells us, "Vayaske naharan." Aharon did so. And Rashi says, "Ahagid shvacha shel Aharon shleishina." It comes to relate to Aharon's praise that there was no difference whatsoever between when he was in the Beis Medrash, in front of a sitter, or when he was outside, in the workplace, outside on the street. He always knew that he was in front of the Rebbein Shalom. He always knew that he was speaking to the Rebbein Shalom. That is what our davening needs to look like. And this, I believe, is what this pasuk is referring to. We talk about Rebbein Shalom. I'm going to go into the oil, which is the Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go into the Mishkan. I'm going closer. I'm going to Yerushalayim. I'm going into the Bayit, to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Heichel, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But do you know where you're going to go after that? You're going to go into the street. Right? You're going to go into the workplace after that. And then that's Churban Beis Hamikdash. Then there is no Beis Hamikdash, right? Then it's Hashem Ahavti Moim Beisach. At that point, we have to realize, Hashem, I love the dwelling place of your house, Mikoim Mishkan Kvedecha, the place where your glory resides, which is Malach Al Eretz Kavoda. The Rebbein Shalom is all over the place. But it's, we're not in front of the siddur. We don't feel the Kodesh HaKadosh. We don't feel the Beis HaMikdash. We don't feel Yerushalayim. We're out on the street. And at that point, we have to realize the Hashem Ahavti Mo'in Beisecha O'mekai Mishkan Kavidecha. Malay Chal Aretz Kavidecha. The Rebbein Shalom is all over the place. And it's all Pesukim and Tillim. They all preceded the Beis HaMikdash to begin with. But David HaMelech wrote everything b'nevuah. Now, there are interesting thing to note here. Is that in this Matovu, there are three psukim that begin with the word va'ani. And I, with your abundant kindness, will come into your house. The next pasuk, and then it says, and I will prostrate myself and bow. And then, and my prayer to you is that there should be an opportune time. This can't be a coincidence. We're not just putting these three pesukim are not next to each other. They were put together in Matoivu for a reason. In between these three pesukim vani, there's one pasuk that doesn't begin with vani, and that is the pasuk we were just talking about. Hashem, I love the dwelling of your house and the place where your glory resides. The next pasuk here. And I shall prostrate myself and bow. I shall kneel before Hashem, my Maker. Now, I searched many of the Mefarshim. I couldn't find anybody that would address that this pasuk seems totally out of order. Ani ashtachve, I shall prostrate myself. To prostrate yourself means to lay down flat on the floor. So that's the first thing you're doing, you're laying flat on the floor. Ve'echra, and then I will bow. Ve'evracha, and then I will kneel. It's totally out of order. First you bow, then you kneel, and then you prostrate yourself. I will prostrate myself, I will bow, and I will kneel. What's pshat in this pasuk? Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov says, Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and went to Choron. And then it says, he encountered the place, which we know was the Mokom HaMikdash, Ayol and Shom, and he slept there, and he had this dream of a Sulam B'Tzavarta, V'Roshim Hagi HaShemayim, a ladder standing on the ground that reaches the heavens. Malachi Alekim, boy, the Yordan boy, angels going up and down. And then, Mayikas Yaakov, Mishnos Yaakov wakes up from his sleep. Vayomer, and he says, Manoid HaMokam HaZeh, this place is awesome. Ein Zeh Kiyam Beis Alekim, this is the house of Hashem, Zeh Shah Hashemai. Ochen Yesh Hashem HaMokam HaZeh, behold, Hashem is in this place. V'Nachi Lo Yedati, I didn't know. So Rashi comments, on this, Rashi is bothered. It says Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and went to Choron. So it seems that he went to Choron. Then it says that he encountered the place, which was on the way. So then he hasn't arrived in Choron yet. So what's going on here? So Rashi says that initially Yaakov went straight to Choron. He passed by the Mokom HaMikdash and he didn't stop. When he got to Choron, he said, "Efsher avarti amokom she'ispalu avoyzav le'ispalalti bo." Is it possible that I passed by the place where my forefathers davened and I didn't daven there? So he decided to go back. As soon as he decided to go back, Kofzalei Haaretz, the Mokom HaMikdash ran to greet him. The land went to greet him. He encountered the place and that's where he had this dream. So we need to understand. Number one, why didn't Yaakov stop in the first place? And if he didn't want to stop in the first place, why did he decide to go back when he did get to Choron? What is Hashem trying to show Yaakov with his dream of the ladder standing on the ground and reaching the heavens? And how can Yaakov possibly say that he didn't know that Hashem resides in this place? The whole reason he went back was because this is the place where my forefathers davened. So this whole thing doesn't make any sense. So I'd like to suggest that what went on in Yaakov Avinu's mind was that Yaakov Avinu, of course, on his way to Choron, passed by Har HaMoriah, And he thought about going in. And he thought to himself, this is the place where my grandfather, Avraham Avinu, was prepared to slaughter his one and only child. Wasn't his one and only child, it was his beloved child. Holy place. This is the place that my father stuck out his neck to be slaughtered for Hashem's sake. I mean, this is the place. So, what am I going to contribute? What sense does it make for me to go there? How small will I feel if I walk into this place? What am I going to say? A capital telem? What is that going to be worth? So, you know what? I'm just going to carry on. And he went to the Haran. And when he got to Haran, he said, you know what? It wasn't respectful. At least I should have showed my respect to the holiness of the place. And he went back. And indeed, he said a capital telem. That ended up being the Tefillah of Ma'ariv. And Yaakov Avinu fell asleep. Hashem showed him, listen here, Yaakov. You might think that your Kapitel Tehillim is worthless. That in comparison to what your father and grandfather did, it's nothing. I want to tell you. You might think that you're standing on the ground. I want to tell you that everything that a person does for Hashem's sake reaches the heavens. No matter how small it is. You don't have to slaughter yourself al Kiddush Hashem to reach the heavens. A Kapitel Tehillim reaches the heavens too. And when Yaakov Avinu woke up from his dream, he said, Achen yesh Hashem v'makom hazeh. Behold, I knew Hashem was in this place. But v'anoichi lo yadati, I didn't know that I can contribute anything. And now I found out that even I can contribute something to. And this is so important for every single Yid to know as we approach davening in the morning. That we make a difference. Or else, what's the point? We're going to start davening, we're going to say all the words, and some we know what we're talking about, some we don't know what we're talking about. Everything a Yid does for Hashem's sake reaches the heavens. And we daven three times a day. Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So we have three psukim. As we enter the davening every day, we have three psukim, one corresponding to Shachris, one corresponding to Mincha, one corresponding to Ma'ariv. Each one begins with the word Va'ani, and I. It's not just the avos that made a difference. Yaakov, Yisroel, Matoivo Elecha Yaakov, Mishkanei Sacha Yisroel, Va'ani, and me also. Va'ani for Shachris, Va'ani for Mincha, Va'ani for Ma'ariv. I make a difference by Shachris, I make a difference by Mincha, and I make a difference by Ma'ariv. And perhaps this is why between the first Va'ani and the last two Va'anis, there's this pasuk of Hashem ahavti mo'im v'esecha melkem mishkan kvedecha. Hashem, I love the dwelling place of your house and the place where your kovod resides, which I explains refers to the rest of the day. The time that we're at work, when we're in our business, that we're at home taking care of kids, or that's the time between Shacharis and Mincha. That's the separation between the first Va'ani and the last two. There's Shachris, Va'ani. And then there's Hashem Ahavti Mo'im V'Esecha Mishkan Mishkan Kvedecha. There's the time when we're not in the Bayis, and we're not in the Mishkan, we're not in the Heichel, we're not in the Oil. We're in the Mo'im V'Esecha, the Mekom Mishkan Kvedecha. And then back to the Va'ani. Va'ani from Mincha, Va'ani from Ma'ariv. perhaps we can understand the three different lashonis of Eshtachave, Echra, and Evrecha that we spoke about. First, I prostrate myself, then I bow, and then I kneel. It's totally out of order, as we mentioned before. But according to the Mahalach that we're talking about over here, according to the approach that we're talking about, we're talking about the whole Seder HaYoyim. We're talking about Shachris. And then going out to the workplace, and then coming back for Mincha and Maariv at the end of the day. We're talking about igniting the lamps in the morning so that it illuminates for the rest of the day, so that it should be Shaloi Shina. The more we put into the Shachris, the more the greater the light of the Shachris, the greater impact it's going to have on the rest of the day, obviously. The greatest surge of energy has to be in the morning. That's where the main investment of our koiches need to be. Ishtachva. At Shachris, we need to prostrate ourselves. What that brings about is throughout the day, I have my head bowed. I remember there's a Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's not all about me the entire day. I'm not going to pick fights the entire day while I'm at work because I daven Shachris. I daven Shachris, and at Shachris, I prostrated myself. I'm not prostrating myself all day, but it's going to cause that throughout the day, my head will be bowed. I'll be humbled throughout the day. And then when I come back to Mincha Maariv, I'll kneel. It's no longer necessary to prostrate yourself at Mincha Maariv. Once the day has gone by, and I was managed the entire day to keep my head bowed, by Mincha and Maariv, Evrecha, I will kneel before Hashem. But this, and what the message is that the energy that we need to infuse into the chakras, we need to realize that is the recharge. We need to recharge our batteries so that we can be that cordless the entire day. In the last Va'ani, and I, may my prayer to you, Hashem, be at an opportune time. Hashem, in your abundant kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. So Asama says that there are two types of tefillah. There's a tefillah that is all about ourselves. Rebbeinu Shleilam, I need parnasa. Rebbeinu Shleilam, I need health. Rebbeinu Shleilam, I need this. And I need that. It's all about me. And then there's a tefillah that's about the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Rebbeinu Shleilam, please give me parnasa so I can serve you. Please give me health so I can serve you. These tefillahs are as far away from each other as Mizrach HaMaariv. One is all about me. One is all about the Rebbeinu Shleilam. know, it, we're holding the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's getting close. Tammuz, Zmanei Tshuva Mimash Mishim Avoyim. The times of tshuva are coming up upon us very, very soon. There's a halacha, you know, by the Aser Yisimei Tshuva, starting at Rosh Hashanah, we say, Zachrein Elachayim, Elachavetz Machayim, remember us for life, Nichamai Chavarach, all these things we insert into Shemoneh Esrei. The halacha is, if you forget those, you don't have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. There's one thing that if you forget it, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Hamelech HaKadosh. Right? If you don't say Hamelech HaKadosh, you say Akel HaKadosh, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. What's Peshat? So I once explained with a mashal. There is a king has one and only child, a prince. And one day he calls in his prince and he says to his prince, listen here. There are very far away provinces within my kingdom that have no idea whatsoever what kingdom is. They've never seen me in their lives. I'd like them to have some idea, some connection to me. After all, I am their king, they're my subjects. It would be appropriate for them to have some kind of connection. So listen here. I want you to move out to those provinces. You are to wear the royal garments. And just by your presence in those provinces, they will develop a relationship. They'll have some inkling as to what kingdom is. I just want to warn you, says the king. Your royal garments are very, very, very fine garments. You have to be careful that they should not get stained. So, here's a book of rules. The places you should keep away from. Because these are places that can stain your garments. And there are things that you can do to strengthen your garments. And they're in that book too. You need to know one thing, that if you do indeed stain your garments, there is no one in the world that can launder your garment. No one can clean your garment, only in my palace. So the king, the prince accepts this mission, goes out to this faraway province, and indeed, he walks the streets with his royal garments. People start become they start becoming educated about what the kingdom is and what the king is, and how loving the king is and how awesome the king is, and they get this inkling because this prince is such a regal and aristocratic individual. And there are times that this prince is tempted to go to different places to see, you know, what the townsfolk are doing and that kind of stuff. But he knows that, no, in the book it says that those are places where his garment can be stained. So he keeps away from them. Then one day, he can't withstand the temptation. And he goes to one of these places where he shouldn't be going. And as he exits this place, he looks down at his garment. And he's got a big blotch on his garment. He knows that he can't walk around with a garment that's stained. It's a disgrace for the kingdom for him to walk around like that. He has no choice but to go back to the palace and have this garment cleaned. So he comes to the palace gates, knocks on the palace gates. The guard comes out to the palace gate and says, "How can I help you?" He says, "Please, tell my father that I've stained my garment. Ask him to please have my garment cleansed. Because with a stained garment, not only can I not walk the streets of the province where I live, I can't enter the palace with a stained garment either. Have him cleanse my garment so I can enter the palace, so I can enjoy all the goods that the palace has to offer, the food, the luxuries of the palace." So, the message comes back from the king. "Why should I cleanse your garment? Tell me, in what merit should I cleanse your garment? You've botched up." Now, let's say if this prince would have a little bit more seichel, and he would say to the guard, "I need my garments cleansed, because it's unbefitting for the kingdom. It's unbefitting for my father's honor that I should be walking around with a stained garment. No questions can be asked. Why are you worthy of your garment being stained? It's not about me. It's about the king. It's his garment. It's his kingdom that's going to be desecrated if I walk around with this kind of garment." The Nimshel is understood. The Rabbanu Shlalom sent us, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, we are the Rabbanu Shlalom's child. And the reason why the Rabbanu Shlalom sent us into this world is so that the people of the world should know of the Rabbanu Shlalom's kingdom. And the Rabbanu Shlalom gave us a neshama that is royal. And the Rabbanu Shlalom gave us a Torah that tells us what stains our neshama, what strengthens our neshama. And then once a year, we have to come back to the Rabbanu Shlalom. We have to come back to the palace. And we could say, "Rabbanu Shlalom, cleanse our neshama. Cleanse our neshama because I want pranasa, because I want children, because I want health, because I want life." And then the Rabbanu Shlalom says, "Why? What merit?" However, if we say to the Rabbanu Shlalom, "I need life because I want to serve you. I need you to cleanse my neshama because I want to be able to continue publicizing your kingdom in the world. I need health in order to be able to bring others closer to Yiddishkeit." If it's all about the Rabbanu Shlalom, there's no why and in what merit, because it has nothing to do with me. That's a kind of tefillah that is guaranteed to be accepted. So if we say Zachreinu L'chaim and all the other tefillahs that are all about Hashem remember us for life and remember us, if you don't say those, you're okay. HaMelech HaKadosh, which is the tefillah that we ask Hashem to restore His kingdom, if you don't say that, you got to say Shemoneh Esrei over again. Va'anis filosi, says the Sfas Emes. Va'anis filosi l'cha Hashem, if my tefillah is for you, Hashem, that's an Eis Ratzon. Whenever a person asks for Hashem's benefit, whatever we ask for, we can ask for Hashem's benefit. That's an Eis Ratzon. And Elokim, Hashem answers us. when we ask for Hashem's benefit. And if you look throughout Shemoneh Esrei, you'll see that this concept is repeated time and time again. Ugaleinu, Gula Shleim, Mehera, redeem us. Why? Leman Shemecha, for your name. We constantly repeat this. Tefillah needs to be L'cha Hashem. We say, there's a pasuk of Yaschan, a part of Yaschan, and the pasuk says, Umigoy Godal, who is such a great nation? Ashaloya Lekim Kroiv Melov, that has a God close to them. Kashem Alekainu Mechol Kareinu Elov. Kashem our God, whenever we call out to him. Says Vasemes, we see so many times we call out to him, we're never answered. No. Bechol Kareinu Elov, when we call out for his sake. When we call out for his sake, we're answered. So we just have to tweak our tefillahs a little bit. It's not for us, it's for him. We don't need the health for ourselves. We don't need the parnasa for ourselves. We know it's not for ourselves. We need it in order to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's what we're here for. V'anis filosi l'cho Hashem. Our tefillah is for you, Hashem. That's an Eisrot sign. And the kimbrav chazdecha, aneinim b'b'emis yishecha. Then Hashem answers us with the truth of his salvation.